Praise God. Acts 28, we're going to begin with verse 1. Everybody that's able to stand, stand for the reading. If you don't have a Bible in your hand, amen. Don't have it on your phone, you can look to the screen, amen. Acts 28, 1, everybody got it, say amen.
Amen.
And when they were escaped, they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Amen. We're going to blast the shofar. We want you to give the Lord praise for his word today. Amen. Come on, let's bless him in this house this morning. Amen. Come on, let's all come on. Praise God. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thankful for your goodness today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. You may be seated this morning. And praise God. And that the Holy Ghost will allow me today and the Lord will honor me. I want to minister simply on this thought. Shake yourself. Amen. Shake yourself. Look at your neighbor and say, shake yourself. Amen. I won't keep you any longer than I'm supposed to today. Amen. Praise God. But hallelujah. Acts chapter 28. Amen. How many knows that hell attacks when life is really getting to you? Amen. When life gets to you, listen, even because, just because we serve the Lord and we are Christians and we are born again and we are a part of the covenant of God does not mean that life does not happen to us. Amen. The Bible tells us it rains on the just and the unjust. Amen. We still have to deal with life. But how many knows that when life gets to you, that's when hell seems to attack? When life starts something, amen, now everything's not the devil, okay? Everything is not because of the enemy, amen? Sometimes life just happens, and sometimes life starts things, right? And when life starts something, the enemy will take full-on advantage of that opportunity, amen? Even though, amen, he didn't start it, he will jump on you when you are already down. When you are already in a place, the enemy will take advantage and jump on you. This is why the enemy keeps a watch on those who are in the pursuit of the will of God. Amen. Know that you are a target. You cannot escape. If your posture, if the posture of your heart is before the Lord, and you are seeking, amen, to please him in your life and in all that you do, and not just your relationship with him, but in your relationship with people, in your relationship with society, with the community, amen. When you are in pursuit of the will of God, amen, in the calling in your life, in the things as Sister Christy talked about, amen, being able to offer, amen, and be the hands and feet of Jesus, amen, you are a target. The enemy keeps watch, amen, on those of us who are in pursuit of the will of God. And this is why he will look for the opportunity to begin an assault in various areas of your life. That could be your family. It could be your finances. It could be your health. It could be your marriage. It could be your job. Amen. So many different areas of our life. So he is looking, amen, for the opportunity to begin an assault. We know that sometimes the will of God allows the enemy to, amen, to bring an assault on our lives. Amen. But it can only go so far because of the will of God. Are you with me this morning? So know today that if your heart is for God, if you are looking, amen, to every day, hallelujah, please the Lord with every area of your life, and you are in pursuit of him, hallelujah, rest assured that the enemy is watching you. He's watching your marriage. He's watching your family. He's watching your life to look for an opportunity to assault you. Amen. Praise God. Now, we know that storms will come. We preached on Thursday night about the storm that came upon the water when the disciples were in the boat and Jesus came walking on the water, and Peter stepped out, amen, by faith, stepped out of the boat. If you didn't get to be here or hear that message, get on our YouTube channel, amen, and listen to that message from Thursday night. Hallelujah. And so sometimes there are storms, amen, that come into our lives. Hallelujah. I want you to think about with me this morning that storms typically affect other people besides yourself. So when you are going through a storm, other people that are in your life, whether it be directly, amen, those that you live with, your family, those that you are related to, or those that you work with, those that you are associated with, even those that you might encounter, amen, just as a one-time thing. When you are going through a storm, they typically affect other people besides yourself. We especially see this in the Bible. When you see in the Word of God, whenever there was a storm, amen, that God's people encountered, amen, you can see that it affected everyone else. It affected other people besides that one that was the center of the story. Amen. But when the enemy attacks, hallelujah, a snake generally, amen, comes at you alone. Amen. And when the enemy comes to attack you, oftentimes it is alone. It is just you. You see, if you're going through it in your mind, see, here's the thing. If the whole family is going through it, then it's not just a demon. It's probably a storm. Amen. So if the Judah Tabernacle is going through a storm, then it's not just going to affect me and Luann. It's not just going to affect the leadership, but that storm is going to affect everybody who considers Judah Tabernacle their place of worship. So inadvertently, you will be affected by that storm. Hallelujah. So if the whole family is going through it, amen, it's not just the demon. Amen. It's not just the enemy or a snake, if I can say it like that. Hallelujah. But it's probably a storm. But if you're going through it in your mind and no one else knows about it, then that's usually a demon or a snake, if I can say it like that. Amen. So I want you to understand, amen, hallelujah, the dynamics of how the enemy and how spiritual warfare affects us. Once again, if there is a storm and you're going through a storm, it's not just going to affect you, but the effect that the storm has on you is going to affect you and other people that are connected to you. Amen. And if your family, amen, if a family, if someone in the family is battling sickness, let's say battling sickness, then the whole family, amen, feels the effects of that. So it's not just that person with the diagnosis going through the storm, but it's the whole family. Amen. But if the enemy comes at your mind, amen, and he comes at you personally, and he just says, amen, attacking you, and no one else knows about it, then you can rest assured that that is a snake, amen, that has come to try and to hinder you. See, sometimes you got to understand that the enemy knows personally. He knows to personally attack you after a storm has come against you. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So after a storm has come against you, which remember, doesn't just affect you, but it affects other people, the enemy knows to personally attack you. See, sometimes it's your storm that you're enduring.
Okay.
But sometimes it's someone else's storm you're surviving.
Well.
Oh, come on. We can preach on that later. I said sometimes it's your storm that you're enduring, but there are times that it's someone else's storm that you're surviving. So when someone else is going through a storm and you are inadvertently affected by that, depending on the severity, depending on, amen, the details of that storm, you are going to have to survive, amen, the storm that that person is going through. I need you to stay with me for just a minute this morning. Hallelujah. See, the Apostle Paul, amen, he survived a storm that he told these men not to travel into. Now, we're not going to go into the details of what led up to the context here. You can read, amen, in the previous chapters of the book of Acts leading up to chapter 28 about the details of the Apostle Paul and all of the things that happened that got them to the island of Melita. For time's sake, I'm not going to go into that today, but it will give you some reading for this week. Amen. But Paul told these men on the ship, amen, he tried to warn them to not go this direction because of the storm. But Paul had to survive a storm, amen, that he told these men not to travel into. But because of their arrogance and because of their disregard for God's truth, Paul had to endure harsh conditions, amen, that not only destroyed the ship that they were in, but he had to hang on to the remnants of that destroyed ship just to swim to safety. Amen. So not only did Paul endure these harsh conditions that this storm brought, amen, even though he told these men, don't travel into this storm. How many of you have ever told someone, you better not do that, or you better not go that direction, because I've been there, done that, and it's not going to turn out well. Hallelujah. Come on. It's not an I told you so thing, but here we go, right? Amen. And there's going to be people suffer. There's going to be people that have to endure hurt and pain and struggle and disappointment and fear and anxiety because they chose to travel in the direction of that storm when they could have not went there. Are you with me? Again, that's another message for another time. But these men's arrogance caused Paul to have to endure harsh conditions. It caused Paul, amen, it destroyed the ship. We know they had to throw, amen, their food and throw things overboard to try to lighten the load of the ship. But the storm was just too severe, and it literally beat the ship into pieces, and to where they had to hang on to the remnants of the debris of this ship just to be able to swim and get to safety. Hallelujah. Understand, it was dark. It was cold. It lasted a good while. Amen. Not to say that it was frightening. Can you imagine that? Amen. Being out there in the dark, in the dead of winter. Amen. In a storm and rain and wind and waves. And the boat, the ship that you're on is being beat into pieces. Amen. Praise God. Can you imagine that? So it was frightening. And so now, amen, Paul is standing there. He is soaked. Amen, he is soaking wet. Paul is chilled to the bone. Paul is tired. He's frustrated. He's weary. Amen, as he's standing here on this island, he had to, amen, pray. He had to, amen, endure some harsh conditions and put up, amen, with a storm and survive it. Amen, simply to just get to a place of safety. So now, here he is. Imagine him standing there, again, soaking wet. He is chilled. How many's ever been chilled to the bone? Amen. When you're chilled to the bone, and there he is. He has got to be tired and weary and frustrated. Amen. And dealing with a lot of things. And right then and there, that's when hell decided that it would be a good time to attack. He just survived a storm, amen, because of these other men. A storm that he probably would not have had to endure had they listened. Hallelujah. And now he is tired. He has been hanging on for life. He has been encouraging, amen, these other men on the ship. Hallelujah. He has been swimming and going, and he's tired, and now hell decides, yep, this would be a good time to attack. I done told you that the enemy watches, hallelujah, for an opportunity to attack you. We said just a couple of minutes ago, amen, that the enemy will attack you whenever you have just come through a storm. When we think, oh man, this is over, then all of a sudden, bam, there he shows up. There he begins to reveal. Amen. Hallelujah. And let me tell you something. This strategy has not changed since Paul was on the island of Melita. It's the same strategy the enemy uses today. He'll get you when you're cold. Don't make me preach there. He'll get you, amen, when you are weary. He'll get you when you are frustrated. He'll get you when you are standing there soaking wet from the storm. Amen. Bruised and battered. Amen. From the battle. And then all of a sudden he's like, okay, this is a good opportunity. I just think I will put on an attack on them right now. That's still his strategy today. When you're exhausted and you're vulnerable, nobody likes to be vulnerable. But when you're exhausted and you're vulnerable, that's when the snakes come out.
Come on.
Look at your neighbor and say, watch for the snakes. Watch for the snakes. See, when you are weary, when you are exhausted, when you are vulnerable, you're already in that place. That's when the snakes come out. They'll show up with the temptation and the struggle.
See, I'm on top right now.
That's when the snakes will come out and they'll begin to attack. Paul's just standing here trying to get himself together.
See,
can you imagine that?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know that I'd have been as put together as he was at that point. I'm sure that I'd have been probably trying not to side-eye some of those sailors on that ship. Right? Oh yeah, I remember what you said 2 months ago. Come on. Right? We remember all of those things. And amen. And so Paul was just trying to get himself together. He's just survived the storm that he shouldn't have went through.
That's right.
Talking right.
I said he just survived a storm that he should not have went through. And so now hell is taking advantage of Paul's vulnerability and trying to catch him off guard. Because see, that's what will happen when you're cold, when you're weary, when you're struggling. Again, when you're at that place of vulnerability and you're just tired, right? Spiritually exhausted. Been there. Come on. Can't say that I'm not there right now. If I'm honest. But I can't say that I'm spiritually rested. Hallelujah. I'd be lying to you if I did. But I can say all is well.
Amen.
Like Paul, I can say that if God be for me, who can be against me? I can say, amen, that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Those things I can say. So the enemy is taking full advantage and trying to catch the Apostle Paul off guard. And see that snake comes at Paul because of a couple of things. First of all, because of the condition that Paul was in. He was cold, he was weary, he was exhausted. So the condition was perfect for hell to sin the snake. The condition that Paul was in was appropriate for hell to say, okay, I've been waiting for this opportunity. And he shows up. Second of all, that snake came at Paul because of the heavy load that Paul was carrying. Understand that Paul was a prisoner on trial. That's the reason that he had to get on the ship. He was on his way. He was being held prisoner, and he was on his way to face the Roman court, amen, for the cause of the gospel. So Paul was a prisoner on this ship. Hallelujah. And so he was carrying a load that no one else could help him except God. There wasn't anybody who was going to be able, amen, to get Paul out of these circumstances except God. Now here, imagine your mind, amen, knowing that you're getting ready to go on trial. You are being held captive, a prisoner, and getting ready to go on trial. And now all of a sudden, those that are holding you captive have caused you to have to survive and go through a storm. Amen. And now it's not just a little rain. It's not just a little setback. Hallelujah. But it's literally, amen, for his life. And so that load that Paul was carrying is a perfect opportunity for the snake to show up. Can I tell you that it doesn't matter how strong your relationship with the Lord is, the enemy will ensue and attack on you.
Yes.
Everybody wants to be like Paul. I don't think you know what you're saying. Everybody wants to have the faith of Paul. Everybody wants to be able, amen, to stand, amen, and say, I've offered up, hallelujah. Oh, this is the last drop of my life, and I've offered it up to God, and I offer this last drop up, and if he wants this last drop, even though I'm here at the end, I've been running this race. I've kept my eyes on the goal, amen. I've taught, and I've taken all that I can with me. I've obeyed the Lord. To obey is better than sacrifice, right? She just said that, amen, a few minutes ago. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so Paul, amen, is a representation of someone with a strong relationship with the Lord. Someone, amen, who you don't imagine that Paul would ever turn back. Now, we know that it's possible for all of us to give up. But see, here's the thing. Paul had his mind made up. Paul had experienced the love of Jesus in such a manner that there was nothing else that matched the love of Jesus and the grace and the mercy. So he said, I run this race with patience. I'm going, and I've endured to the end. And I offer up my life even right here as a drink offering, good to the last drop. I'm willing to be poured out however God desires for me. So we don't imagine Paul ever giving up. And so understand that it doesn't matter how strong your relationship with the Lord is, the enemy will attack. But here's what you gotta understand. See, Paul had some experience with the love of God.
Come on now.
Paul had some experience. Paul said, you know what? I'm a mess. See, when I would want to do good, that's when I mess up. When I should do right, come on, somebody. But when I mess up, I know that I have, hallelujah, an advocate with Jesus Christ the righteous. I know because I mess up, I don't have to give up. I know that I don't have to put up, hallelujah, amen, with the lies of the enemy. Paul said, when I throw a punch, it's been a while since we preached there, but Paul said, when I throw a punch, I make it count. I ain't just beating the air. I ain't just throwing punches to throw punches, but if I'm going to make, hallelujah, the effort to take all that God has given me,
and my authority and my dominion, that when I pull back and I release, amen, my fist, I'm going to make that thing count. In other words, I'm going to make sure that I hit my target. Oh, and until I count, oh, somebody better help me in this place. Hallelujah. I'm running this race. I'm going forward. I have committed that I will not give up. I have committed that I will finish my course. Are you with me today? So it doesn't matter how strong your relationship with the Lord is, that snake will attack. But you got to remember, when he attacks you, it now becomes an opportunity to take the fire of your experience to another level.
Come on now.
See, it's that passion, that fire that burns within us. Hallelujah. When we truly get a revelation of who Jesus is, and he becomes more than just a man hanging on a cross, that's hanging on a necklace, a man or a bumper sticker with John 3:16, or showing up on Sunday morning and filling a pew. He's more than that. He becomes a man. Lord and Master. And in the process of that, the power of the Holy Spirit, amen, takes control of my life. Hallelujah. When you really have a passion for who he is, amen, nothing else matters. Things are good. We preached a couple weeks ago. Amen. Maybe it was last week. I don't know. Hallelujah. But amen, sometimes the Lord will ask us to let go of things. Not because they're sin, but he says, you have held on to that, and you feel like that's the limit of joy and peace that you can have. But I want you to let go of it and let me take the place. Let me fill your life with joy. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Hallelujah. So when you really have a passion for God, and you have a passion because of the love of Jesus, then that fire burns within you. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, it's the Spirit of the Lord that raises up a standard against the enemy. And you go down, and you get weary as you're down, and you get broken and bruised and bleeding. And there's moments in your despair that you think, you know what? I'm just not going to get up again. I'm just not going to do it anymore. Oh, but that passion, that fire for Jesus burns inside of you. He's more than a worship song. He's more than a Grammy. He's more than a Dove Award. He's more than a certificate. He's more than accolades. He's more than green check marks beside your name on social media. He's more than having a ministry behind you. But he is your very passion. He is your life source. And without him, you cannot live. That fire that burns. So when the enemy and that snake ensues an attack, it's just another opportunity to take the fire of your experience to another level. Are you with me today? Three or four of you are. The rest of you, wake up. Shake yourself.
Come on now.
Look at your neighbor and say it again. Shake yourself.
Shake yourself.
Shake yourself. See, so Paul's condition brings out the viper.
I just thought.
His condition brought out the viper. Oh, hallelujah. Now, I thought about something
as I was preparing this message, and I've preached from this chapter a few times, amen. We allude to it. Many ministers do. But you know, that fire was already going. And Paul, we know Paul when he got a bunny was six, and so we can predict that the viper was in the sticks. Mm-hmm. We can predict that. But I got to thinking, actually, that viper should have bit his foot. If it went down in the fire, it should have come slithering out of there and went for his foot. Because that would have been the first part of his body that it would have saw when it crawled out of the fire. But instead it jumped out and fastened on his hand where everybody could see it. See, if it would have bit him on the foot, Paul would have kicked it like this and done that, and he would have still got the same results.
Okay. Yeah.
But no one around him would have known what had happened. Come on, somebody. They're all standing there shaking, shivering, freezing. The barbarians, amen. That's not a negative word. That's just what they were called because they were civilized to that island and to that place. Amen. But they had prepared a fire. They were showing themselves friendly. Are you with me? Hallelujah. If that snake would have bit him in the foot, he would have just done this. Amen. And it would have went on. But you see, hallelujah, what the snake did was it jumped out and it fastened on Paul's hand. Amen. There's two others besides yourself that knows all that you do. There's two others besides you that knows all you do. One of those is God and the other one is the enemy. Amen. He knows when you pray. He knows when you don't pray. He knows when you praise. He knows when you let your praise be, amen, halted. He knows when you serve and he knows when you sit back. He knows everything. Are you with me? Hallelujah. And listen to me. He jumped out and so everybody could see. Now what does a snake do when it bites? It releases venom into the bloodstream to paralyze the body from the inside out. Are you hearing me? It releases that venom that goes into the bloodstream to paralyze the body from the inside out. See, there are some of you that are sitting here today and you've allowed bitterness and anger and jealousy and resentment and pride, anxiety, fear to paralyze your spirit. And so, while others may not see what's happening, something's going on the inside. Come on. You've allowed the venom of the snake to get into your bloodstream. Hallelujah. Are you with me? I'm trying to make a point here. Because I want you to look at what the barbarians did. What did they do? What did they say? Those that were standing there on the island. When they saw the snake attach itself to Paul's hand. What was it that they said? They didn't say, they didn't jump back or say anything other than they said, he is a murderer. Can I tell you what? They were right. Paul was a murderer. His past was the past of a murderer. So what does the enemy want to do? Hey, man, when the snake comes, the reason he wanted to bite Paul's hand where everybody could see, because the first thing he'll do is he'll bring up your past. He'll bring up your failures. Yeah, I might have done this and I might have done that, but I'm not that anymore.
just like he ought to, but at least he ain't walking the way he used to. The new man might not look like a man he wants to when he sees himself in the mirror, but he sure don't look like what he did before Jesus came and said, Paul, Paul, why do you resist my conviction? Are you with me? They said he's a murderer. They said he survived the storm. But justice has not allowed him to live. Hallelujah. He survived the storm, but he ain't worthy to go any further. He survived the storm, but he ain't worthy of the call and the grace that is upon his life. He's done been too much. God's done given up on him. There's no purpose for him any longer. Are you with me? I'm trying to hurry up. Hallelujah. Because hell desires to get others to judge your future based on your past. But I come to tell somebody this morning that it does not matter to God what you did in your past. What matters to God is what you choose to do today in this moment. And if Jesus is not your Lord and Savior, today is your day. Today is the day that everything can change and turn around. Are you with me? They said he survived the storm, but justice isn't allowing him to live. Can I tell you that people will speak defeat and destruction over your life? That's why it matters who you hang with. That's why it matters who you seek counsel from. The Bible says seek wise counsel, not any counsel. The Bible says seek wise counsel. See, help me, Jesus. I have nothing against education. You know I don't, because I push it. I have nothing against us gaining and growing and studying. I've done it. I've got certificates that I've went through classes and I've passed. But I would rather somebody who's been down in the muck, somebody who's been down in the trenches, that has been there, lost everything, hallelujah, but they're still sending. They have been in that place where they held on to a piece of a ship for dear life just to swim to safety, where they have lost everything, and they've been battered and cold and beaten, but now they can say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Then somebody that's got lots of knowledge but no experience. See, give me somebody that's got the passion. That amen, the storm and the attack of the snake has raised the fire of their experience to another level. And they don't love God this week like they did 2 months ago, because now they've done went through a storm. Now they've done, hallelujah, experienced an attack from the enemy. And the fire of their experience, their passion, is now at a higher level. People will speak. How many people I've told you before? You know how many people told me when I started preaching? I told you my first time preaching, it was an aggravated youth conference, youth service.
and invited all these other churches. And the whole front row was filled with men with hair my color. I know now they were wrapped up in organized religion. Denominational barriers and doctrine, and they sat on that front row with their.
Yeah.
With that, I preached maybe 10 minutes. You're like, what? It's probably only five. Because I was scared, senseless, because of their presence. I was told, well, there ain't no young punk been in church meetings. Ain't no young punk gonna tell me what to do. I ain't gonna listen to that. No, 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 no young person. I've been saved longer than he's been living. Well, you sure don't act like it.
Come on.
I don't want to know Jesus on the level you know him. I come on, somebody help me. Let's just be real, right? Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm not saying nothing against anybody. Praise the Lord. I'm sure we're all going on by now. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Because they're probably my age or older. Amen. And I was just barely 21. If that is, I don't know. But people will tell you, they will judge you. They will say, seek defeat.
Right.
He's a murderer. Obviously, he's a murderer. And that snake would not have bitten him. And, well, bless his heart, he survived the storm, but he's going to die. Now he's going to die here. He went through all that. Now he's going to die here. That's what the enemy wants you to think. That you've been through all you've been through, and you're just, God's just done with you. You're just going to finish. This is it. That's it. It's over. This is it. This is the end of it. Hallelujah.
Right.
And people will speak those things, but here's the thing. What's in you is greater than the snake's venom.
Amen.
Everything that's in you as a child of God is greater than the venom of the snake. It's greater. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Are you with me this morning? Hallelujah. Praise God. And you see, there's no way. He can survive the snake bite, they said. Let me tell you something. There will always be somebody who's waiting for you to go down. There's always somebody that says, they ain't gonna make it through this one. They ain't gonna make it through this attack. It's not gonna happen. See, when the snake is attached, right, you start hearing the words of the people. And you start hearing the words of the enemy. Yeah, see, I told you, you're just never going to get past it. It's just you're just meant to suffer all the time. All of that you believe and hope for is not for you. And so, when that snake is attached, the Bible says they waited for his hand to swell up. So that means it was on there enough, long enough, for Paul's hand to show the effects of the venom. Are you with me? We'll talk about that in a minute. Because you see, when that snake is attached, it's then that we often start questioning God's love for us.
Well, come on.
Maybe I'm the only one. If I am, praise God, you should be excited. But that's when we begin to think that to question and say, well, maybe this is far as God's love will go for me. Come on.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something.
Well,
nowhere in the Bible
did a storm kill a child of God?
Amen.
See?
Amen.
Nowhere in the Bible does a storm take out a child of God. She even talked about Jonah being swallowed by the whale.
Yeah.
They talk about giving up, talking about thinking it was over.
Right.
Come on, somebody.
Yep.
But nowhere in the Word does a storm kill a child of God. And see, Paul had to survive the storm to get where he's at. You had to survive a storm to get here.
Come on now.
Today.
Come on.
Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
I want you to hear me.
Yep.
You had to survive a storm to get here, but the snake is already defeated. He has to crawl on his belly because that's his sign of defeat. That's his sign. Oh, somebody help me. That's his sign, hallelujah, that he belongs under the feet of the child of God. Hallelujah. All that snake jumped and attached itself. Hallelujah. But that snake had to crawl to get to that fire. Hey, man, you had to survive the storm to get here, but that snake, hallelujah, had to crawl on his belly because he's already defeated. You say, put that in hillbilly terms. I'm glad you asked. Don't magnify the enemy because of what he's done in your life, but look at who you are in Christ and realize that he's already been overcome. You done went through hell to get there, and you're not going to hell, but he is going to end up in the fire. I need somebody to help me in this place. He's going to end up where you have been saved from. Don't focus and magnify the enemy because of what he's doing in your life. We're all guilty. Don't act like you ain't got egg on your face at this moment. Come on. You might be cold. You might be weary. You might be confused. You might be tired. And you might not be sure of tomorrow. Ooh, hallelujah. My God, my God. But you're still standing. Hallelujah. You just went through hell. You have just survived a storm. That was because of somebody else. But God gave you the strength. Hallelujah. And you're standing there cold and wet and weary and chilled to the bone. And ain't got any mind capacity left. Rarely to give God praise, let alone be something for somebody else. You're barely able to stand, let alone withstand an attack from the enemy. Hallelujah. But you're still standing. And that snake is always going to be on his belly. He's always going to have to crawl. And if you're standing, that means he is under your feet. He is under your feet. That snake that's attacked your family is under your feet. That snake that has attacked your health is under your feet. I'm going somewhere with that. I'm trying to finish. At least you made it through the storm.
See.
Look at your neighbor and say, you made it through the storm. You made it. You're here this morning, ain't you? Don't let it all happen. You're here, right? We're standing, and guess what? He still has to crawl. If he's going to get in this sanctuary, he's still got to crawl on his belly. Hallelujah. But you're standing victorious, triumphant, and overcomer. And because Jesus put his foot on the serpent and made an open display for all to see. Ooh, hallelujah. Listen to me. Snakes will meet you at the fire, but not in it.
So come on. You got to talk right in here.
You'll get that. I'm going to let you chew on that for a few seconds. I said the snake will meet you in the fire, at the fire, but not in it. He'll meet you on this side of it, and he'll meet you on the other side of it. But he will not meet you in the fire. Remember Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. They were called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego with their Babylonian names. Those soldiers took and went to the edge of the fire. And that's as far as they could go. Why? Because the fire would have destroyed them. But they put those anointed children of God in there. And guess what? The only thing the fire burned off was the ropes and the things that held them captive. This is why. You know why the snake will meet you at the fire and he'll meet you on the other side? Because Jesus is in the fire. Jesus is in the fire and he knows he's already defeated. Woo! Help me. I hope this is helping you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He can't go with you through the fire. He can only be there before and after. Why? Because the fire destroys the enemy. The fire that purifies you destroys the enemy. Everything that helped them, that was a symbol of bondage. Everything that was significant of a prisoner, Jesus, the fire burned it off. Because when they came out on the other side, you that know the story know what I'm about to say. When they came out on the other side, before they came out, remember, old King Nebuchadnezzar, looked in there. He said, excuse me, fellas. Amen. Remember the ones that threw them in? The fire, just the heat, destroyed them. But he said, excuse me, fellas. Did we not cast three men into this furnace? And they said, yes. He said, but wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. I see a fourth man. And he's walking around loose in the fire. And he looks like he might be Jesus. It looks like it's supernatural. When they came out, there was not a hair on their body singed, and they didn't even smell like smoke. Ooh, help me. It looked to the rest of them like the snake was attached to Paul. Here we go. This is what I'm going to get to. It looked to them that the snake was attached to Paul. Because they said, oh, he's as good as dead.
Yeah.
Ooh. You know how many times the enemy has said that to me?
Right.
You're as good as done. You're as good. It's as good as over. Just, oh, hallelujah. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Praise God. It's good as over. Because they said, oh Lord, he survived that storm and now he's going to come here tonight. Justice is going to be served. It looked to them like a snake was attached. But God said, it's barely hanging on.
Amen.
God said, it's barely hanging on. See, what looks like to others that the enemy has won. Hallelujah. Can I put that in heavenly terms? It ain't going to last. Hallelujah. It ain't going to last. Amen. Because you know what Paul did? Hallelujah. He shook it off into the fire. Why did it fall off? Because Paul shook it off. Somebody help me. It didn't fall off because God said, that's enough. Let him go. It didn't fall off. One of those other people came and grabbed it, but Paul had to shake himself. Paul shook it off. I've come this morning to tell somebody, all you need to do is shake yourself, because from heaven's perspective, that snake is barely hanging on. He wants you to Shake yourself.
Faith.
We have to shake ourselves to disconnect from the attack.
Well, sound good to me.
See, listen. I got a rubber snake in there. Look, I hate snakes. You that know me would not know that. I do not like snakes. It is not funny to try and scare me of a snake. I thought I'd cut that rubber when I've got in there. The only good snake's a dead one.
You better know.
Look, these people, well, help me not to get off. Help me not to get caught. These people that keep snakes in their basement and bathe them and oil them and look. I work to keep snakes out of my house. I've seen more snakes in the yard since we've lived in this house in 3 years than I have probably all my life. And then they, you know, they're just little black garters like that. Lord. And you're down working in the mulch on your knees. And one comes slithering up. Woo! Chills come all over your body. And you jump up your 60-year-old knees and your bad back don't stop you. Amen. You up and out of there. But my point is that some of you, so many times we walk around with that snake hanging. And here we are, lifting our hands in praise and worship. With that snake attached. Come on. And the reason that it hasn't taken you out is because it's not attached like you think it is from heaven's point of view. It's barely hanging on, but you got to shake it off. Because no matter what you do, that snake's going to be in the way. I saw somebody the other day, some woman, her nails, they looked like they were that long. Man, I don't know. How do y'all do that? Why do you do that?
We don't know.
Why?
It's normal.
I don't understand it. I guess I never will. I'm not supposed to. Thank you, Jesus. Nothing against it. Wrong. It's got nails that long. I always get myself in trouble some way or another. But I just don't understand it. And I'm looking at it thinking, golly, that's a lot of work. Well, man, I think that'd be good for us to pick your nose, scratch your ear, reach a place on your back that you can't reach with just your regular finger. Ain't it the truth? That it's going to be dirty. Then you got just something else to have to clean. There's something else to have to take care of. Oh, Lord, that's why I try to keep my hair long. It's too much to take care of. It's old and gray and like horse hair. It's like wire, and I don't want to go to sleep, so just cut it off. Too much work. You understand what I mean? And my point is that we make our daily walk with God harder than it has to be because we don't shake off the snake. And from where heaven is, it's barely hanging on. But Paul shook it off. You got to disconnect yourself. Shake yourself and disconnect from those demons that's attached itself to your marriage and your family and your health and your body and your finances. You got to shake yourself. Because the venom can't penetrate the blood of Jesus.
Well,
come on, are you with me?
That's right.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
I'm about to finish. But everything, when that snake stays attached, everything you do revolves around that snake.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If you're trying to to bathe. If you're trying to eat, it's hanging off. You've got to move it. Come on, it's attached.
Yeah.
But you gotta get it out of the way. You gotta try to get dressed. You gotta pray when you come into church and you raise your hands. That thing is dangling. Are you with me? Hallelujah. When all you gotta do is shake yourself. Disconnect from the attack.
Yeah.
Not saying that he's not going to attack, but I'm not saying that, amen, things are not going to affect you, but we have to disconnect from the attack.
Yeah.
We have to shake ourselves. See, snakes will avoid the heat of fire. But I looked it up. A snake isn't necessarily afraid of fire. And it will avoid the heat of fire, which is, again, that snake jumping out and attaching itself to Paul. But I looked it up. You know one thing that snakes fear? Other predators. Something that can overpower it or take authority over it. Something that can eat that snake and devour that snake. Are you with me? He belongs under your feet. You're the enemy's predator. You're the one that has the authority and the power that's been given to you, right? To tread upon serpents and scorpions. Amen. And what happened? God used the opportunity to let Paul lay hands on the sick, including the governor of Malta, who was sick. He had chronic, non-stop diarrhea. That's what the Bible says. He was sick. You ain't kidding. Talk about a stomach virus. Paul laid hands on him and healed him. The very same hand that the enemy thought was going to be affected, Paul used to lay hands on him. And the Bible says every person on the island that was sick was healed. Come on. Paul survived a storm that was should not have went through. And the enemy attacked him after he went through that storm at his most vulnerable point, trying to catch him off guard when he was weak, when he was vulnerable. Cold, and he attacked him. But Paul shook himself. He shook himself. And that snake went into the fire. Listen, you got to outlast the devil.
Amen.
Do you know how many times I've said that? You got to outlast the devil. We had a friend. This is the seventh death that we've been acquainted with since 2025 started. We had a friend pass away this past week. And years ago, he struggled so. I was his pastor for quite a while. But he struggled so much with believing God loved him the way that God really loved him. He would show up. He would work. He became extremely ill the last several years. The church that he attended when he passed away, I would go sometimes on a Sunday night and visit during revival. And he lived quite a ways from the church, so he would stay during, he was really sick, struggled, but he would stay, I'm an early person, like I want to get there, I'm going to get myself on the front row, and we'll get a parking spot, I ain't going to be messing with that stuff, I'm going to go, and we'll get comfortable when I get in there, and I would get there, usually early enough, and he would be laying on the pew, with his shoes off resting, because he felt terrible, but he knew if he left, he wouldn't be able to come back. But years ago, I said that to him. He struggled so much. And I used to sit with him, and I would, you know, you get sometimes to the place you want to just be like with people. I don't know what else to tell you, but that God loves you.
Right.
None of that stuff matters to God.
Right.
But the one thing he said to me years ago, we've been pastoring now, almost 27 years, and in the beginning, probably the first year of pastoring, one thing he said to me, he said, and he was funny, he had a very, very unique sense of humor, but could be as serious as, could have a poker face and be saying something funny and you didn't know whether to laugh or whether to, you know, until he grinned and then you could start laughing with him. But he said, you know what, Pastor? One thing that I tell myself, Rich, it was his name. Quitting can't be an option.
That's right.
No, that's right.
Quitting can't be an option. That stuck with me. You know, you've heard me say that plenty of times. That stuck with me. And I thought of that when I got the news that he passed away. That he didn't have to worry anymore about that option. Because he made his peace with his race. So you got to outlast the enemy. He's going to come as they get ready to come to the music. I feel like sharing this testimony. The enemy will come and he'll attack. You survive the storm, you're standing, he'll come, he'll attach, he'll jump out, and it's where everybody can see all of those things that we talked about. But in the 90s, in Ethiopia, there was a great revival that broke out. And there were, I believe, 2 million people got saved during that time. And they began to build churches to accommodate the growth that was there. And this man came, he burnt down one of their churches. If I remember right, it was a pretty good sized church. He burned it down. And you know what the people of that church did? They went out in the ashes and they danced and they worshiped in the ashes of that burnt church building. And they started to rebuild it. And while they were rebuilding, he came and he said, "You rebuild it, I'll burn it down again." They rebuilt it. He burned it down again. The next time they started to rebuild it, he said, "Rebuild it, I'll burn it down." They rebuilt it. The man went to set that church on fire, and he began screaming because an angel of the Lord came and set him on fire on the inside. And he screamed and lay for 5 days with his body burning on the inside. Suffering, screaming. And he died. And they wrapped him in a water-soaked blanket. And his body was so hot, they couldn't touch it. And they wrapped him in a water-soaked blanket. And that blanket smoked because of the heat that was inside his body. They had to cut branches from a tree and roll him into his grave and cover him up. I said that to say this. You have to outlast the devil. God will take care of his people. God will see to it that if you are faithful and you shake yourself, he will come to your rescue. You belong to him. And if he belonged to him, he belongs to you. I said this on Thursday as you were to stand across this place. Sometimes we struggle with trusting God. And there was the testimony of a well-known worship singer. She's probably my age, maybe not a little older. Women are funny about their age. She's wrote songs that we sing here. She talked about how there was an area in her life that she struggled in trusting God. And God asked her, "Can you trust me in this?" And she said, "I was just honest with God and said, no, God, I can't. I can't trust you in this." And God responded back to her and said, "Can you try? Can you try?" The enemy wants us to think that God's ready to cut us down and that the Lord is ready to take us out and punish us. But all he's asking us to do is to remain. So you've got to shake it off. Shake yourself. Disconnect from the attack of the enemy this morning. I don't know who the Lord's talking to today, but I know I was going a different direction with another message. Thought I had it, man, until late last night. So I don't know who needs to be reminded today to shake yourself. But you need to disconnect from that demon that's attacked your family, your mind, your marriage, your health, your home. So if you're in this place today and you don't know Jesus, you haven't given him your life, you're not saved today. Today's your day. Today's your day. Maybe you're in here, you once walked in relationship with the Lord, but now you've stepped out of his covenant. Come back. Come back today. Recommit your life to him. Get ready to worship. If that's you, I want you to come. While some might be contemplating that decision, if you're in here today, you come in here and you will say, "Pastor, there's a snake attached to my life, but I believe it's barely hanging on. I felt like that it was hanging on there good, but from where God is, it's barely hanging on. I'm ready to shake myself and disconnect from that attack. I'm tired of going around it. I want you to come." Come on, let's begin to worship.